We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Really, the only thing that this move does is it lengthens our bullpen. You know, now it takes a little bit of pressure off of us as starters to, you know, when we don't have our good stuff, where, you know, we're grinding and we've got to fill kind of that hole to get to maybe that back end. You know, we're able to do that probably a little bit easier than we have been. You know, so I think anytime you're able, just like with our lineup, you had, like, you know, I just got done saying you had a guy like Cargo. I mean, now that lineup just gets a little bit deeper. So same thing with our bullpen. Now our bullpen gets a little bit deeper.
Middays on the Score.
John Lester, team leader. It matters what he thinks and what he says. Indeed, Craig Kimbrell is a Chicago Cub one way or another. If you're just joining us, Theo Epstein was scheduled to be on. If you're tuning in, say, where's Theo? Theo Epstein decided it would be in everybody's best interest for him to join the show live. We're going to be at Wrigley Field tomorrow out in the right field porch. Mm-hmm. So he's going to walk on down and hang out. But that's because apparently these loose ends will be tied up. There will be a press release out and this will be official. And I was just asking during the break off the air whether or not it's possible we could have closure on Ben Zobrist one way or the other tomorrow also.
I suppose that's possible. There are a couple of strange loose ends. I shouldn't say strange. Just odd and somewhat unnormal loose ends to tie up with this whole Craig Kimbrell signing. Not only is it clearly connected, or at least as Ken Rosenthal has reported, connected with Ben Zobrist's situation and his being on the restricted list, but also, as we were talking to Matthew Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus earlier at the 10 o'clock hour, if you missed that awesome breakdown of what Kimbrell means to the Cubs and what he could provide, where do you put Kimbrell to get him into game shape? Because if he signs the contract, this is what we've been trying to work out during breaks over the last little bit, and it's actually more difficult to research than you'd imagine. If he's got options left and signs a major league deal...
Someone said he has two options left, I believe I heard.
You could option him, but if he has more service time than he's got to accept it. It's this weird kind of ability and need to throw him into what would essentially be minor league rehab starts, but you don't get to use the rehab designation if you're not hurt.
Right.
Addison Russell was a little bit different because that list...
That's accounted for.
The suspension list, you get, or you are provided, I should say, options or opportunities, rather, to keep him at a rehab or at a AAA level for a little while.
Yeah, and there really isn't a comp here. There isn't a major leaguer, because Jake Arrieta took forever to sign, but he still ended up signing before the season.
Before the season, so they were to keep him on a roster and then just keep him in extended spring,
yes.
I think, is where they ended him. So that was, it's odd.
But now post-draft, extended spring is over, right? Because now you're going to short A.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could throw him in, if you've got a rookie league going or something like that, you could throw him to the Arizona stuff. Or I guess, although I wouldn't do this in Kimbrell's case, especially if you think it's going to be like 10 days or 12 days or something, you could keep him on the roster and have him throw a bunch of sim games and essentially play one down. Of course, that's just way too much to have to deal with.
I think this is really cool here. The Tony Andracki, a Cubs reporter for NBC Sports Chicago.
Good dude, good reporter.
Yeah, he just tweeted this. How did the Cubs bullpen find out the team signed Kimbrell? Right after the news broke, Kyle Schwarber went out to left field and was doing the Kimbrell arm dangle as he played catch with bullpen catcher Chad Noble to warm up for the inning.
That's funny.
That's really cool.
That's really good.
He was doing the unmistakable Kimbrell. He's just standing there with his arms dangling down. It's like the double Rod Beck kind of thing.
So I watched Kimbrell. I worked for the what was then the Atlanta Braves affiliate, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. They were a high A team in the Carolina League when Kimbrell, I think he threw three and a third, maybe four innings for that team toward the end of the year. They brought the Braves, brought both Kimbrell and Jason Hayward up to that team as they were making a championship run. Hayward had been in low A and Kimbrell too, I think. And I don't, for the life of me, because when Kimbrell got there, we were working on it. I didn't realize that he had the prospect shine that he did. And everybody knew he was only going to throw a couple of innings. And I don't remember if he had the big wing out there then. I do remember that he was all over the place and not throwing strikes, even though he only walked one in the four innings.
Do you have tapes of your play-by-play?
No.
Really?
No, I don't.
You keep any of it?
No, I didn't. I lost a hard drive.
Oh, see, I just had a shoebox of cassettes.
Well, and that's the thing is I had a hard drive. It was 5-6 years ago, something like that. Gone.
Oh, that
nuked.
Sucks.
Everything's gone.
Nowhere on the cloud?
All the cool. Nope, didn't exist then. It was right before everything got updated to the cloud and right after you had put everybody was putting everything on hard drives anyway. Yeah. It's all of it gone. Everything from college, a bunch of old photos, all the 90 billion songs I downloaded illegally, all that stuff.
Yeah, somewhere in my old childhood bedroom, my parents' house, are all these cassettes and a bunch of Duke play-by-play, Rockford Lightning, Rockford Royals, Rockford Cubbies, South Bend White Sox, all of these various.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's definitely some Raleigh Bullfrogs in there, some Chicago Rockers. It's all there somewhere. But at least I don't know if it made the transfer over from wide orbit, but I have the call of the final out of the Glendon Rush no-hitter.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that. I didn't realize that you'd done that. I was like, I don't know if you remember this. It was when you and Terry were doing a show together. I had updates, and I didn't realize that you'd done it, and Jay played it.
Yeah, that was at Kane County, and Sal Fasano made from the Chicago
was
area.
Was Sal large then?
Sal was always a very large and hirsute man, and he made the final catch. And it's funny that you've read the book The Art of Fielding.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
it is
God,
on.
You haven't.
Well, so here's the thing that has been, it was purchased and given to me after
Idiot.
You were yelling at me to read it.
Read it.
Pete told me to read
God,
it too.
You'll love it.
So it's on the list. I think it's the All Star Break book.
I always pictured the other main character in there, the big catcher Mike Schwartz, this big beefy
Sal Fasano.
Yes, I pictured him looking exactly like
awesome.
Sal Fasano, and it worked out perfectly. But how cool is that? The Kyle Schwarber was doing the Kimbrell arm dangle, and then it gets
That's
into the bullpen
cool.
that they got him. Finding out what you think and reminding you that if you're tuning in for Theo Epstein, where's Theo? He's going to join us live. He wanted to wait a day so he could be freed up to talk about this stuff rather than talking in hypotheticals and euphemisms. I think it's best for all involved. South Shore, Bill, you're on Sports Radio 670 on Bernstein and McKnight.
Hey, guys. Great show. Great day.
Thanks, Bill.
I just wanted to say, it's just amazing to me to be in this era of Cubdom where they just make the move, try to make it happen no matter what. It's awesome. And as far as Kimbrell, I watch him a lot in the AL, and his release, it's like he hides the ball. And I know he's thrown in the upper 90s, but it feels even faster because it just feels like he hides the ball to the last second and it really explodes to the plate. And it's just incredible to watch. And the breaking ball just makes people look foolish. And the last thing I'm going to say is I felt like I just got pranked, Dan, by you.
Why?
As I got cut off, and I looked at the license plate, and it was a Chicago Bears plate, Bob 86.
Of course it was.
I couldn't even make that up if I tried.
Thanks, Bill.
That's great. Dan does drive around with Bears license plates, too. Six or seven of them all sprayed around the back end of the car.
Well, I always bring one into the game with me, and I hold it up
always.
For the cameras, right?
Always. Every single time. Yeah, no, it's...
I thought it was on your necklace.
My big Mercedes logo? Yeah.
It's cool that Kimbrell has stuff and funk. You know, that delivery comes with both of those things. He's not the only guy that does have stuff and velo and funk, but he happens to have all three of those things. It's fun to watch.
815 says, if you still have that hard drive, Best Buy can retrieve it. He said, I had that happen.
No, I gave it. I appreciate you chiming in and letting me know. I gave it to Gambino, actually, a computer expert, and it was absolutely fried.
He's a computer expert?
Yeah, that's what he does now. Yeah,
oh,
it's what
I didn't
he does.
Know that. Oh, it's cool. How about Jim in Sarasota? He's on the score. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Good day. Hey, I got 2 points. First, I know you guys are into the statistics and the velos and all that kind of stuff. I read last night that Kimbrell's numbers were down from the previous year, from 2017 to 2018.
Yes.
His velocity had dropped, and his walk rate had gone from 5%. To 12%, and I'm thinking, oh my golly, that's all we need is another guy who's walking people out there. And then also, doesn't it concern you a little bit that, you know, we always seem to pick up these guys that have been sitting around for a while, that everybody's in the trade rumors. Prime example, Quintana, you know, it took a while for us to get him, and he was the guy, and then we got him, and he's been okay.
He's been very good.
Same with Darvish, same exact thing. You know, he kind of sat around for a while, and then we got him, and he's been kind of okay as well. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think Darvish was the guy that sat around for a while. Jake Arrieta was the guy that sat around for a little while.
Yeah, they really didn't. Just because they've been in the news doesn't mean they're sitting around for a while. I don't really...
And again, if you missed it, the circumstances around Kimbrel were kind of multifold. You know, you had a guy who had slipped a little bit. The walks per nine went from 1.8 in 2017 to 4.5. I mean, you don't have to know. I mean, that's a lot. The strikeouts were down a little bit, but they're still really impressive. He struck out 40% of hitters he faced last year, I think. That's an unfathomable number. That's a huge, huge deal. Velo ticked down some, came back up toward the end of the year. And like we talked about with Matthew Trueblood a little while ago, what it really looked like, if you go, you know, a little bit more granularly, about 2.5 weeks where he really lost it. And then was, you know, just maybe 90% of Craig Kimbrel the rest of the way through the season.
This segment's brought to you by Campland RV. Head on over to Campland RV for their 58th anniversary sale. Now through the end of June, find great deals on RVs and campers. Campland RV, RV buying made easy, just a short drive off I-94 in Northwest Indiana. In just a couple of moments, we will get a full Boston scouting report on Craig Kimbrel. MassLive Red Sox beat writer Chris Cotillo is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. You've got the score.
It's 3-4 years, so we'll have him for more than that. You know, hopefully, yeah, just for this year. But yeah, it's early too. I mean, we need to win every single game. Every game is important. It's going to come down to the wire. The National League is too good this year to take any win for granted. So this is a nice addition for us, especially this early.
Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo on his new teammate Craig Kimbrel. The Bernstein and McKnight Show, 9 to noon, early middays on Sports Radio 670. And we are joined now by Chris Cotillo of MassLive.com, Red Sox beat writer and MLB insider. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from, currently at Kauffman Stadium, but taking the time to talk about a former Red Sox closer, now a member of the Cubs. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What do we have here? What kind of guy is he?
Yeah, he was kind of a quieter guy in the clubhouse from what we saw last year. He didn't really love talking to the media. He was accountable when he did screw up, which was kind of rare early during the regular season, more common once we got to September and October, which I'm sure we'll get to. But he kind of kept to himself. He's very close as a leader of the bullpen. He's very instrumental in Matt Barnes' career. Matt Barnes has obviously taken a huge step forward for the Red Sox this year. Kind of as their premier reliever, and really tried to get those guys on his workout program. Kimbrel is known for going and working out after games, doing a full treadmill workout. So if you're covering the team, it's a little annoying that you have to wait an hour for him to complete that workout, but that's something a lot of the Red Sox have adopted. A lot of the guys were, you know, talking about how they're happy to see him move on to a new team, get a deal finally. And so he was a guy who was kind of a quiet leader, especially among the relievers, but someone who kind of kept to himself, at least publicly.
Chris, do you figure the Red Sox had any expectation of his accepting the $17.9 million qualifying offer?
At the time, I don't think so, but yeah. I don't think they knew at that point that he was going to be asking for 6 years and $100 million or 6 years and $120 million or whatever it was. And once they kind of got the word from his agent, David Meter, that door was closed immediately. The Red Sox decided, you know, they only had a certain amount of money. They wanted to commit to Nathan Eovaldi on the free agent market, signed him to a $68 million deal, and then got extensions done with Xander Bogaerts and Chris Sale. You know, the most expensive reliever on the Red Sox roster is Tyler Thornburg, who's been terrible this year at $1.75 million. So something like Kimbrel was just not in the cards at that price. I'm sure if, you know, the deal he signed with the Cubs was on the table back in November, the Red Sox would have done it. But once he declined that qualifying offer and set his price, I think it was pretty much a done deal that he'd go elsewhere.
How particular is he about how he is used? We know there are closers that would much prefer a clean ninth inning, and that is how they see themselves as what they do. Others are like, yeah, everyone may go and get somebody out. I'm happy to go in and do it. And others are somewhere in between on that continuum. Where's he?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been so dominant in that specific role for his entire career and the 3 years he was here that I don't think he's really even considered anything else. I don't think anybody's really considered putting him anywhere else. I'm sure the Cubs view him as a ninth inning guy, the lockdown guy. I'm not sure. You know, obviously, the deal's not official yet, so they haven't discussed that. But it just was never an issue here because there was never a talk that he was going to be moved out of that role. So if he re-signed, he would have been the closer. The Red Sox don't have a set closer now, but you know, I'm sure the Cubs will kind of put him in that role as well.
Let's get to the September or October, Craig Kimbrell. What went wrong? What were you guys chasing? What was he chasing trying to get back together?
Yeah, I think it was just command, you know, a lot of the time with him. We saw, you know, in August and September, after having a 2-2 ERA for the first 4 months, it rose to, you know, 4-something over the last couple months, and lack of command. And then once we got to October, it was really an issue. You know, he walked in October, I think he walked 8 guys, a couple hit by pitches, and just, you know, not the same guy. He didn't have a clean inning for his first 4 outings in the ALDS and the ALCS. Alex Cora told us, kind of admitted after the ALCS, that he was tipping pitches. They finally felt like they had fixed him. Actually, an interesting story from Cora back then. Eric Gagne, who was teammates with Alex Cora with the Dodgers and the Red Sox, was watching the game on TV and noticed that Craig Kimbrell was tipping and decided to call Alex Cora and tell him. They figured something out, basically, from Gagne watching on his couch. Kimbrell was better, you know, at the end of the ALCS and early in the World Series. But something that's telling to me, with the World Series on the line in Game 5 in Dodger Stadium, the Red Sox went to Chris Sale to close things out instead of Kimbrell. Kimbrell had not had a clean inning, gave up a couple runs in Game 4, and the Red Sox decided to go to Sale to close things out. So out of 9 appearances for Kimbrell, I think there's only 4 clean outings, which, you know, you can't have. He was actually 6-for-6 in saves. But as he said back then, he gave Red Sox fans a heart attack pretty much every time he was out there. And I think, you know, I'm not sure how much of an impact it had on his value, but I'm sure that seeing that on the biggest stage scared teams off. We saw Joe Kelly and Nathan Eovaldi get big free agent deals after pitching, you know, like crazy in the playoffs. And I think it kind of went against Kimbrell in that same way.
Did we learn what the tip problem was? Was it squeezing the ball in his glove or the way his foot was landing?
Yeah, the Red Sox would not, they don't like to reveal that kind of stuff just because, you know, if they don't want even more tipping, I guess. But they thought it was corrected at least right after the ALCS. During the World Series, the first couple outings, he was all right. But like I said, towards the end, it might have come back again. And in the craziness of October, I don't think that ever came out.
Talking with Chris Cotillo of MassLive.com, the Red Sox beat writer who's joining us from Kauffman Stadium as he follows the Red Sox around. How open is Kimbrell to all of the new technology, to the high-speed cameras that show the finger position on the seams and the ball and all that? Is it something he actively embraces? Is it something he grudgingly embraces? Or is it something he doesn't want any part of?
He, you know, with the Red Sox, I don't think you really have a choice. Alex Cora loved to embrace data last year in his first year when Kimbrell was here. Brian Bannister is a guy who, you know, is the assistant pitching coach and vice president of pitching development. He's a very analytical guy, and the Red Sox have really focused on, especially since they changed from Farrell to Cora with a new coaching staff, doing a lot of that stuff. So I don't think you really have a choice. You know, the relievers are constantly watching film. With Kimbrell specifically, he was a guy that wasn't in the clubhouse much, so you figured he was probably working it out after games and watching video before. So I think the Red Sox, if you're in that pitching staff last year, you didn't have a choice but to be involved with all that.
You mentioned, Chris, that the Red Sox probably would have done this deal, the reported one, 3 years and $43 million with an option for a fourth, if it would have been on the table in the offseason. Were they interested in him at all as this draft pick compensation expired after the draft a few days ago?
No, I think once that Nathan Eovaldi deal was done, 4 years and $68 million right before the winter meetings, that was kind of their big purchase in terms of free agency. They went out and got two guys, or they re-signed two of their postseason heroes, Eovaldi for that deal, and then Steve Pearce for a 1 year, six and a quarter, I think. And they basically were capped out at that point. They went over the luxury tax last year, dropped a 10 spots in the draft this week because of it. They didn't want to exceed that third threshold over the winter, so they kind of closed the door. And I thought it was really interesting that the line was pretty consistent from Dave Dombrowski starting at the winter meetings. He said, "We're not looking to make a big expenditure at our closer position," which he said you guys can read into that for what you think it means. And obviously it meant that they weren't going to re-sign Kimbrell. In spring training, one of the owners, Tom Werner, was with us in Fort Myers and said, and so he was asked, you know, point blank, "Do you guys have interest in re-signing Kimbrell?" And he said, "It's very unlikely at this point." So they kind of were very clear that this was not something that was going to happen. Once those demands were so high early on, they decided to beef up their starting rotation and really make that the focus of the team. It was done. The bullpen has been surprisingly good so far this year. They don't have a set closer, but they're working in. You know, Matt Barnes is the high leverage guy. Marcus Walden and Brandon Workman, who people really don't know, have really stepped up and been good. So they haven't had a need. I don't think that they even opened that door at all in the last couple weeks.
What's funny is that the Cubs owner said the same thing about Kimbrel.
True.
It was here, yeah, too. And he said, yeah, we probably don't have the money. He even mentioned him by name. He said, a guy like Craig Kimbrel, I don't see us having the kind of liquidity to do that.
Right. I'm sure the Ben Zobrist thing helped that out.
Well, that's is reportedly that is indeed the case.
You figure the Red Sox are shopping for things as we get closer and closer to the deadline, because the guys we have mentioned, Steve Pierce and Eovaldi, they're not that healthy right now, and when they have played, they've not been all that great.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Eovaldi is going to be back in the next week or so, so that will beef up the starting rotation. I think, you know, the core of this team is the rotation. That is best. You have, obviously, Sale, who was incredible last night, a complete game shutout. Price has been the ace of the staff all year. Eduardo Rodriguez up and down, Rick Porcello up and down. Once Eovaldi comes back, that's a strength. They should go out and get a reliever somewhere. You know, they're going to start seeing teams shopping earlier than normal this year because there's no August trade deadline. So we should see that develop in the next few weeks with the draft over. But the Red Sox can get someone for a lot cheaper than $14 million a year, a rental guy, a guy with a year and a half of control left. So we'll see. I expect them to make a move, though.
All good stuff, Chris. Thanks. I'll let you get back to work.
Thanks, appreciate it.
That is Chris Cotillo of Mass Live, Red Sox beat writer.
The reason I asked what the Red Sox might be up to at the deadline is because I, you know, you can see their need for bullpen help, and it just kind of underscores this whole idea that you're just spending cash on Craig Kimbrel.
You're not giving up any of your other resources.
You're not giving any of that up, and you're leveraging yourself too. You're not going to go into trade negotiations looking at, you know, the Giants or something. And Farhan Zaidi's looking at you going, you need everything I have, so I'm taking every single prospect you've got, and by the way, I want Kyle Schwarber for my time, or whatever he happens to want. Like, you now get to go in there and hopefully deal from a much bigger position of strength, at least with Kimbrel in the back end. Now this, it primes you for a deal that can get you perhaps a reliever of the Strope level to help back in the rest of the pen.
The bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Nothing beats championship hockey. Your Chicago Wolves are battling the Charlotte Checkers in the Calder Cup Finals. Wolves are home tonight and Saturday at Allstate Arena for games 4 and 5 of the finals. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for playoff information. In case you're just joining us, Theo Epstein has decided that it's probably best that he join us live tomorrow at 11 rather than his planned time of 11 o'clock today. That way things can be official, contracts can be signed, and he can talk with a little more freedom about actual players rather than theoretical ones. You wanted to talk about a decade-old mystery,
yeah,
that has been solved.
This is an interesting situation here. One of my favorite players, you're a Rasheed Wallace guy, right? One of your all-time favorites, Rasheed Wallace?
My guy.
I was always a Paul Pierce guy. Loved Paul Pierce. I just, the way he played, the whole thing. I loved watching the guy. I really did. You just get down to the high elbow,
like
or something.
Watching a pump fake and a spin move at the top of,
yeah,
the key.
Yeah, throw an ass around and, yep, move a defender and then find
throw
some space.
Ass
he's
around.
Got that giant booty to just roll defenders with. I mean, he was that guy. It was great. It was a ton of fun. Even like late career Paul Pierce.
Uh-huh.
Now, you'll remember 11 years ago yesterday, I believe, Paul Pierce went down. Kendrick Perkins fell. He went down. There was the injury, there was a wheelchair, he was taken off, and then returned to thunderous applause. As it turns out, there's a little more to the story.
Paul here, 11 years ago today, wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I have a confession to make.
Whoa.
I just had to go to a bathroom.
Another one or number two?
I had to go to the bathroom.
But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
It was something went down. I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
You were streaking.
Okay. Hey, who? Injuries.
That's it.
So.
It's brilliant. It's visionary. If he didn't want to have to walk off in shame, he could be wheeled off in mystery.
He has only become more my favorite player for that. Manipulating the circumstances like that, getting himself the ovation, coming back like a Willis Reed, that's awesome.
Your pregame meal should not be Indian food.
Bran muffins and a hoddle of coffee.
And chicken vindaloo.
Why?
I mean, come on, man.
Why, Paul? What were you doing?
I don't know. It's happened.
So my question is, did the fall force something?
Probably.
I mean, it had to have, right? The impact led to a lack of control.
Yeah, I remember... I remember being at a game when Moses Malone left in the middle of the game. He like walked off the court. It was like, oh my god, he's going to the locker room.
I'm out of here.
He left. And he walked off the court, and he goes in the locker room. And he's there for a while, and he comes back. Eventually, gets back in the game. Everyone's really concerned, but it was really casual, and people weren't really doing it. No trainers like were scuttling around behind him.
Yeah.
And we asked him after the game, you know, what's the thing? And he just looks at the reporter and goes, "Ain't no thing. Got a dump." we're good. This segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water.
Remember when Joe Pa had to dart across the field and came out in different colored pants?
I forgot about that.
Just like cuts across at the 30. Like, where's Joe going?
Everything's fine.
He's at the 30, the 25, 20. 15, 10, 5, new pants for Joe Pa. And now he's dead.
Oh, I forgot which is about fine. That.
Yeah. Yeah. The George Brett story is still the greatest of all time. You know who the pitchers are today?
Tell the George Brett story.
No, that was the George Brett. He George Brett tells the George Brett. Just no, YouTube
it's
it.
It's fair.
YouTube.
Who's the pitchers in this game?
The poor kid that he's talking to and telling him his whole story just didn't really want to hear it. But George wasn't going to be done telling it until he
walked him back to the hotel. I get three quarters of the way out of the lobby, and all of a sudden I go, oh. And I'm standing here like this. I got my butt pinched so I can't move. All of a sudden, you know, felt all right. I went just like this. Water.
Amazing.
And then he's on an escalator in Vegas, right? And he's on an escalator, one of those giant escalators. Yeah. And he's coming down like in the movie Rain Man. And he's trying to figure out how to get new pants. And the pants didn't fit. And it was like bad crab legs or something.
George Brett, by the way, I don't know if you're watching Brockmeyer into the third season. I have finished. It's very funny. That's Hank Azaria's show about the baseball broadcaster Jim Brockmeyer. George Brett's in it, has a couple of scenes. Funny.
Really?
Yes.
Funny because he's funny?
Funny because, the writing's great. He gets given some pretty good lines, but he's also funny because he's funny.
Okay. Yeah. We got Lawrence Holmes coming up. It's his birthday, by the way. He's 42?
29.
No, we got 29. Stop
I don't know.
I think he's
44.
44 already. Wow, my God, time flies. Tomorrow, Lawrence is going to be at Wrigley Field. We are going to be at Wrigley Field.
Right.
Theo Epstein's going to be joining us at Wrigley Field up there in the right field porch. So we got a lot to do in talking to Lawrence, finding out his thoughts on Kimbrel and all of that, as we imagine the details will be finalized today. Wondering if we're also going to get some closure on Ben Zobrist, perhaps.
So. Yeah.
I think that would kind of be nice as well if that hand is eventually forced. You've got the Bernstein and McKnight Show on the Score.
All the fans were screaming and yelling, we got Kimbrel, so I heard it from Lynn on TV. I was watching my at-bat, and he actually happened to say it, so then I went out there and did the arm hang, so that'll be fun.
That's Kyle Schwarber, and that's apparently how the bullpen found out the Cubs got Craig Kimbrel,
awesome.
Because Schwarber was warming up with the bullpen catcher, and he did the thing. He did the vulture arms. What does Kimbrel call that?
The arm hangy thing.
There's got to be a definitive term for it. The arm dangle? The double condor? I don't know.
I've never had him. I've never heard him
explain
it before.
What you call that.
We're going to have to come up with a name for it.
No, he'll tell us what it is.
Well, what if he wants to keep it secret? What if he doesn't want to tell us?
We'll have a name the thing contest.
Okay, we'll name the thing. Let it be known.
Right.
Arm hangy thing. That's vote
so
number
far,
one. That's so
the,
far,
the,
arm hangy thing.
The default position is arm hangy thing.
We were talking with Ryan Dempster, and we had flippy glove and twisty hands. So,
right.
The way we talk about pitching mechanics, it's like that. Arm hangy thing.
Sounds like a vaudeville act, flippy glove and twisty hands. Matthew Trueblood joined us today from Baseball Prospectus. Chris Cotillo, also from MassLive.com. We thank Brian Gertz for handling the video feed. Zawoski, Camp, and Diaz, the production squadron. Kevbo had updates. Tomorrow, we're in the Wrigley bleachers.
Awesome.
Come say hey. Len Casper is going to join us at 10.
Out in right field.
Theo Epstein is going to join us at 11.
Also in right field.
It's going to be just a big baseball party of baseball smart people.
You wearing a shirt?
A shirt?
We're broadcasting from the bleachers. I figured you wouldn't be wearing a shirt.
Literally shirtless.
And then I'd bring a trumpet or something, and then we just, we'd do the whole thing.
Play Pop Popovich more.
Buy a couple of mustaches. Wear those out there, too.
We could borrow Theo's. Because remember, he had the fake mustache from the bleachers when it was like...
We could do that.
Total porn stash thing with his hat.
That's
whole
not
deal.
A good disguise.
Yeah. We know who you are.
We can see you.
You look like Theo Epstein with a mustache. Lawrence Holmes is going to say good morning and bring you into afternoon next on The Score. Keep it here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.